Welcome everyone to our AccuScience Labs podcast. Our newest episode features Robert Levy. He's the director of operations at the Glorious Cannabis Company. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So if you can, I guess the best thing to start us off with is tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at the Glorious Cannabis Company.
Yeah, so I've been in commercial cannabis cultivation for probably the last 13 years. And what I'm currently doing for Glorious Cannabis is that I oversee the process from seed to distribution. So all the way from, when the plant starts off in new genetics, we run it all the way through our propagation departments. We go into our veg departments, our flower departments. And then from there, we oversee post-harvest efforts as well. And then on site here, we have a processing facility where we make all sorts of products, infused products, vapes, rosin products, other extracted products. And we package them all on site. And then we get them from distribution ready all over the state. So I think right now we're sending to over 200 stores in the state of Michigan. So we're busy.
That's great. And your facility is in Rochester Hills, Michigan, correct?
That's correct. We have our corporate office there. And then we have two larger facilities. One is in the city of Aug Gray, where I'm located. And then we have one in the township of Orion, which is just north of Detroit, about 30 minutes.
Tell me, when you're going through the testing process for all of those amazing products you were talking about, what should a company look for in a testing lab?
You know, I think the first thing that we look for in a lab is responsiveness, right? Like the most critical thing in this business is time. So anything that delays the process, even if it's a day, It's a matter of, surviving or not surviving, paying a bill or not paying a bill, getting your payroll complete or not. So, for us, I think it's responsiveness and communication. I think that's the biggest thing to understand. A lot of times, what we see with a lot of labs is, we think something's being tested a certain way, and then we come to find out it's not being tested, the way that we thought at first. So, for us, I think, what's most critical is having that good communication and having that open line of communication. But also, a lot of labs are really inundated just on their own backlog. So having a lab that can respond to you and respond quickly and respond professionally in a way that, you would expect a high level lab to respond is what we look for.
I love that. How about as far as what a cultivator should test internally before even producing and cultivating?
Oh man, that's a great question. And, I've been lucky enough to be responsible for a lot of commissioning of facilities throughout the country. And I can tell you that no matter where you're at in the country, no matter what you're doing, water is not what you think it is. And that's like the lifeblood of this plant. And really, that's the first place that I always start at. Water is one of the only ingredients that goes in and on your plants in a lot of different ways. So water is the most critical thing that I test for in all areas. And you want to test it at multiple points. So a lot of people, they test the water that's just their source water, but then they won't test post to like a reverse osmosis system or, any sort of other water treatment systems. I test at every single point. And the reason that we do that is because there's a lot of things that you can find out about your water that you didn't always know about until you get through another process. So a lot of people say, well, hey, I had clean water. Well, come to find out maybe that there was a, metal fitting that was installed by a plumber that didn't know any better that was leaching heavy metals into your water after you thought it was clean already. So, that's one thing that I look really, really hard at. We test for heavy metals. We test for microbials, obviously, in a lot of the agricultural areas that I've gone into and done consulting work or, done the commissioning myself. A lot of the water in those areas has a lot of pesticide issues just from years and years of pesticide use on ornamental crops, things like that. So, I think that that's probably the biggest thing to test for is your water, but then you also have to look at all your consumable materials. So, looking at your soils, looking at, you know, if you're not in soil and whatever other media you're using. But then in addition to that, you know, your fertilizers, I can tell you, you know, in my experience, the two major issues that I've had with heavy metals or testing issues that I've had have come from either media or fertilizer. A lot of times that's where you'll find heavy metals located. And the thing is a lot of these companies test for them. So they'll give you a science sealed stamp of approval. And then you come to find out that that verification wasn't really accurate. And, you know, when you combine certain things, they change. So you also want to look at testing your fertilizers at a combined rate. A lot of people testing separately, and you don't get the same results when you combine them together. So I always look at those, you know, look at your consumables, what you're using every day, and water. And I'd really start there. A lot of people get into, you know, swabbing the facilities and going through and doing air quality tests, which is certainly applicable. But I could tell you, you know, from experience that 9 times out of 10, my problems are either from water or, you know, a consumable, whether it's media or fertilizer or pesticide.
And all that only comes from experience, right? I mean, it's got to be someone who's new in the business is not going to understand all of the trials and tribulations. And even if they have a checklist, it's probably just you're operating on gut and experience at this point, right?
I mean, you know, I tell everybody, you know, I've learned through my failures, and I've had more than I could count. And a lot of times it's just a learning lesson that, you know, you have to chalk it up to the game and just say, hey, look, you know, listen, we went through this and we learned this in this experience by going this route. So, yeah, I mean, I would say it's a lot of failures. And I think that that's what builds and develops, you know, groups like AccuScience, who's gone through, you know, their own series and trials and tribulations and testing and learning, you know, just from, you know, talking to Harry in the past, you know, a lot of the issues that he's faced in his experience, you know, through environmental testing, very similar to what we go through in cannabis on a daily basis. So, you know, having that experience behind them is what's going to be really helpful long-term.
First of all, I want to thank Robbie and welcome him. And this is a young man. I know him for a long time. He's one of my son's best friends, actually. And I wouldn't be in cannabis business if it wasn't because of Robbie. He's the one who put me on this path. So definitely, and I have to thank him about that. And Robbie is 100%, 200% correct. And even I'm doing this, we are doing a study right now, effect of the THC, Delta 9 THC, THCA on pesticide, especially at a very high concentration. Running pesticide with a high concentration of the THC and THCA, its effect is suppression, and it is very challenging. So Robbie is correct, basically. You got to make sure that any residual amount of pesticide is being detected before you start cultivating, because that's the last thing, you need is to find you have a heavy metal issue or pesticide issue. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, another really good point to kind of piggyback on that is one thing that I got into, especially, you know, once we got into, you know, higher value crops, when you start talking about, you know, this crop is worth $1 million, let's just say, for example, you really start having to do risk mitigation and evaluating where your risks are. And a lot of times the risk is in testing, and it's in whether or not that product's going to come out clean. So what we initiated was, you know, really going in early and testing throughout periods of time throughout the plant's life cycle. The amount of investment that goes into this product, you know, start to finish each week. I mean, you're talking about tens of thousands of dollars that go in, whether it's electricity and lighting or fertilizer or labor or whatever. You know, you're talking about a lot of money that's continually invested. So if you see that, you know, you're not going to pass a test, you might want to, you know, make a few changes to whatever it is that you're doing. So having testing happen continuously through your process is critical.
Let's talk a little bit more about that testing. What lead time do you think's acceptable to receive results back?
You know, I mean, this is a great question. And I think that for for us immediately, right? Like, I get handcuffed a lot of times by testing. You know, it prevents me from packaging materials. It prevents me from distributing materials. A lot of times it can prevent you from even moving materials from one location to another, not until the materials pass testing. So, you know, I would say in my experience, you want to work with a lab who can guarantee you 24-hour results if you need them. Now, that's going to be expedited. And, you know, obviously every lab's different, but I would not work with a lab and I would not agree to work with a lab unless they had the availability to get me 24-hour turnaround. Now, that's not always the case. And a lot of times in our production plan, we include testing time as part of just the normal run-through rate for us. So we'll say, 3 to 4 days for a common request through our testing facility is normal. I think once you start getting outside of 4 days plus, that's when it starts to delay the process a lot. And you get into where now, let's say, for example, we had a product that's ready on a Tuesday. Well, now it's not getting out into stores until, you know, say like the following Tuesday, because by the time I get the results back and package it and label it and distribute it, and then they intake it, you've lost a weekend and you've lost sales opportunities. And in this business, once you lose sales opportunities, a lot of times you don't get them back again. So it's really critical that you get in the door and you get in the door quickly.
This is something that Robbie emphasized before, is a communication between the lab and the grower, basically. And, you know, a lot of time we encounter, okay, Harry, I need these things. We need to get these things out by Thursday. Can I have this on Tuesday, basically? So it's communication is the basic, very important that the lab knows basically what to, you know, expect. And if we have to bring people on weekends, we bring people on weekends to get the job done.
Yeah, and I would imagine that that's got to be the most important aspect for you, Dr. Bazzotti, is making sure that not only are you getting accurate results, but you're getting them out the door and to the client so that you, just like Rob had talked about potentially losing buyers, you could actually lose clients if you're not getting.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it is very important to do that. I mean, you know, luckily coming from environmental, we always had that issue. So that was something that we could easily adjust to it.
I can tell you firsthand that I was working with a lab in Florida, one of the biggest labs in the state. And, you know, he was asking me, we had started outsourcing some of our work to another lab because they just weren't turning things around. And he said, well, what can we do to get your business back? And I said, well, you can start giving me 24-hour turnarounds when I need it. And, you know, I need weekend work if you have the availability when I need it. And they said, well, what else? And, you know, they ended up losing millions of dollars worth of business because of it. And, you know, I guarantee you, if they could go back in time, he would have rewrote the script there. So, you know, I would say there's a lot of opportunity there, particularly in Florida, and with, you know, AccuScience being so strategically located in a place where they can get to you quickly, centrally located in the state. So they can be almost anywhere in the state within a day and have it back. I mean, you can't ask for a better situation.
By the way, Angelo, Robbie is a Florida boy. You know that, you know. So.
I still have not adjusted to the Florida weather, Rob. With my lack of hair up top, it's been rough being in the sun. I'm a Northeasterner.
I'm with you, man. That's why I'm in Michigan. It's too hot in Florida anymore.
You made the escape out. Let's talk about the importance of full panel testing. Tell us how important it is for you and what you do.
Yeah, man. You know, I think one thing that we're starting to see as far as like trends in the market go, a lot, the consumer is becoming a lot more educated. You just have a smarter, more informed consumer. They have a lot more access to data now than they did, say, like 10 or 15 years ago. And one of the things that's really showing to be critical in all of our products, whether it's flour or concentrates or, you know, any consumable product, we're really seeing that terpene profiles are really driving a lot of sales. Where, you know, THC is obviously still king, but, you know, personally, I feel like the terpenes play a lot larger role than they're getting credit for. And I think as time goes by, you're going to start seeing terpenes play a much more much more of a driving role in sales in cannabis. So, you know, I think the full panel really tells you the entire story of the testing of the plant. A lot of people, they just want potency, right? So they just want to get THC, they want to get the number, and they want to be able to say, oh, this is 30%. Well, I can tell you that I've had a product that consistently tested at 19, 20% every single time, and it was beloved. And at the same point, I had products that test consistently 28, 29, 30%. And people didn't want to see it again on the market. So, you know, THC percentage isn't all it's cracked up to be. It does tell the story, but at the end of the day, there's more to it. And that's what a full panel tells you, you know, and you get a lot of information in the full panel. So it's not just potency and terpenes, right? You get microbial testing in there. You get pesticide testing in there, any residual solvent testing in there. And I'm missing some, Harry, so forgive me, because I know what to look for when I get it.
Mycotoxins,
aflatoxins, and that's really, you know, for the consumer, you really want to be able to clearly see that data and be able to understand it, because I can tell you, I could see flower passing through the market, but I want to know, you know, is it just at the threshold of failing for microbial, or is it, you know, non-detect and a clean product? You know, what's going to drive your decision there? So there's a lot to a full panel test, and it tells the consumer a lot. And the more educated they get, I think the more critical that full panel test is going to become.
Robbie, well, one of the things that we started offering, and I talked to you about it, is the plant tissue and nutrient analysis. And our laboratory, we started offering that to our clients in Florida. You want to talk about that? I mean, this is something that's coming up, or it's been around. And you even told me before that you're doing a lot more chemistry than you have ever thought you were going to do.
I sat in high school and I said, when am I ever going to use this in my life? And now
it's popping
day,
up,
right?
You're solving the chemistry.
Yeah, I look back and laugh, but you know, I think you know, to answer your question, it's a two-part question, right? So the first question is, you know, tissue sampling. So why is that so critical? I can tell you an issue that I've experienced in my past that really led me to tissue sampling more of a preventative maintenance, is you can get heavy metal buildup in time, over time, and you don't really recognize it until it's too late. So cannabis, hemp, both plants, you know, they're from the same family, and they're both incredibly efficient at uptaking heavy metals. You're seeing them worldwide. Hemp is being used to remediate areas that are, you know, either contaminated with heavy metals. They're even using it to decontaminate radiation fields now. You're seeing some of that happening around the Chernobyl area. They're starting to do testing for that. So I think on the tissue side, you'll really be able to tell early on whether or not you're uptaking a lot of these, you know, most time it's going to be heavy metals that give you problems. And you'll really see that early on, you know, in your moms. And that's what we would do in our production plants. So a lot of our moms that give us our production plants that serve the entire facilities, I would just do routine testing on tissue samples and test for heavy metals. Because over time, that heavy metal can build up and it happens slowly. And then eventually, before you know it, you have a full-blown crop that's got heavy metals built up in the tissue. And you will never get it out. And I can tell you with experience that even a lot of people say, well, I don't need the flower, I'll just send it to extraction. Well, even methods of extraction, unless you have short path distillation methodology at your site, if the levels are high enough of arsenic or lead, even short path distillation won't remove all of that. So you know, heavy metals testing in tissue is critical early on and as a preventative maintenance to your crop, understanding, you know, hey, this crop could fail and we could propagate this plant 50,000 times. And now we have one plant that has a problem that we created 50,000 plants off of. So, you know, that's the first key to this puzzle. The second key, you know, where you were asking about in fertilizers, you know, I'd really say for us, you know, I'm involved in a fertilizer company, and we take a lot of pride that we have medical grade products. And one of the things that we have is a milling process that's patented that removes heavy metals and things like that. But, you know, with a lot of these fertilizers we're seeing, you know, heavy metals are naturally occurring in a lot of fertilizers that are made. And being able to remove those or purify them as much as possible is critical to your operation. So testing them early and testing them often, because like I said, you know, you get these companies that they test their batches, they test their lots. I can promise you, if you're not regularly testing your consumable materials, you think that you have a passable product or a consumable product that's passed its COA and they've given you a certificate that says this is cleared, test it and then see if it's the truth. Because I can guarantee you, I've had instances where it is not the case and it can cost you millions of dollars. So routine testing on my consumables is like paramount for us. And there's no product that goes in or on any of my plants that doesn't go through testing first and doesn't get tested at an incremental basis.
Do you have to work all of this testing into your production schedule? You mentioned it earlier as far as kind of adding that extra time in. Do you find that's the case?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, depending on testing, we factor in, you know, between 3 to 5 days in our production schedule for testing. So we take that into account. You know, where it gets real tricky is when you get into packaging. And that's when things become difficult, because you kind of run into a stalemate where do you want to put the energy and effort and labor and cost of materials into packaging a product that could come out failing on the back end. And I can tell you, unless you have a trusted source, you know, plenty of times we've had something go to testing and fail, and then we retest it and it comes back and it passes. So, you know, it's totally possible that, you know, people, if they didn't send it out to retest, they would think that it just failed and that'd be the end of it. So, you know, we factor it in all the time, and where it really hurts us the most is packaging. So the sooner that you can get those results back, the sooner we keep the ball rolling, and, you know, the sooner dollars come in.
So I guess we want to try and find out how you got into all this. What led you down this pathway? What drew your interest into the field?
That's a really good question. A lot of really good questions. So I would say that, you know, I really started looking around. I started looking at my peers when I was very young, probably 20, 21 years old. I started looking around at all my friends and all the people that I was around, even people that weren't my friends. They were just my age, right? Like my group of people. And I just started just getting like the general consensus that, maybe not everybody was a proponent of cannabis and not everybody was a proponent of using the product, but they were not against it. And I started seeing that be kind of the unlock as saying, you know, you're going to have a group of people that, you know, 50% of them are a proponent and are going full board with it. But then the other half, they're not going to care to fight it. They don't want to see this plant, you know, not be utilized to the best of its ability for some people. So, you know, when I saw that, I really started saying, you know, to myself, you know, the whole market here is going to change. And then, you know, I said, well, I want to learn how to do everything. I want to learn how to cultivate. I want to learn how to process. I want to learn how to package, manufacture. I can tell you, I'm still learning all of it every day. But, you know, I think what really drove me was seeing how widely accepted it was becoming even at that time. And, you know, you didn't have this whole reefer madness thing that you hear a lot about. It just seemed like, you know, in due time it was going to come along. But I mean, I'll tell you, like I said, I've been in this business about 13 years now, and you see it. When I first got into it, it was night and day different than what it is now. So, I mean, you know, back when I started, it was something you didn't even talk about. You didn't tell anybody that you were doing. And you know, we were licensed and legal and in the state of Colorado, where, you know, it was legal and it was still very hush hush back then. And you didn't tell people you were doing it. And a lot has changed since then. And I think that, you know, I was very lucky to be involved early on, and it's kind of given me a little bit of a head start on a lot of people who are still looking to get involved.
As we go through the next 5 years, do you think that momentum is going to continue and it's going to be more widely accepted and not as judged?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm already seeing and converting people by the day, right? So people that you thought were just, you know, totally against it and didn't want to get on board, you know, they try certain products. And now, you know, the products are really starting to get so dialed in and they're just really being professionally done. You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when somebody handed you a brownie, you didn't know if it had 200 milligrams or 20 milligrams. And I tell you, there's a big difference. So that's where, you know, testing and AccuScience has really started getting dialed in where, I mean, I know the amount of research and development Harry's put into and just testing gummies. I mean, God, he's probably bought 20 packets of gummies and tested them all different kinds of ways. And it's because it can, there's so many variables that come into play that you really have to have your process dialed in to get it accurate. But, you know, I would say in the next 5 to 10 years, I think you're going to see a vast change in the market. I think you're going to see, most likely, I would expect by probably the next presidential election, that there's going to be significant cannabis reform. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of people think that it's going to open up the floodgates for federal legalization, but I think they're still going to, defer to the states to make their own choices for a short period of time. They're still going to tax it, but, you know, they're going to defer to states to make their own decisions for a short period. And then I think you'll start seeing interstate commerce pick up. And once that starts, I think you'll start really seeing a true consolidation of the market that's representative of what this really is, which is like a concentrate market that's, you know, slowly cannibalizing what was once a flower only market. So I think that's what you're going to kind of start seeing happen in over the next, you know, 5 years, as people kind of translate and get involved in certain products. They have creams now that are, you know, the older folks are starting to really get in tune with, and then the gummies and drinks that are a lot more accessible and dialed in, and microdosing is becoming a lot more popular. So you don't have to get out of your mind to, you know, enjoy the effects of cannabis. So I think that there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of people to get involved in a lot of different ways.
I think that's a great point. I think there's a lot of, especially with the wide array of options, you're getting people who would never go, there's no way I'm consuming it, who are now going, okay, well, if it's a topical ointment that I could use for an area, it is opening that up. And then the political backing too. Our last guest was, as we mentioned previously, was Nikki Fried, who's now running for governor of Florida. And she was talking about the political backing and how that's slowly starting to pick up as well.
One of the things, and I was lucky to be a guest speaker at the beginning of June in Florida Medical Marijuana Conference in Naples. And this is not your regular marijuana anymore. This is part of the healthcare industry. It is. Mm-hmm. It is part of the healthcare industry now. There was three of us, non-MDs in that conference, basically. They were all MDs, and this is part of the, you know, healthcare industry now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%.
Well, listen, Rob, I want to thank you for your time today. Dr. Bazzotti, thank you as well. We really appreciate you coming on with us and discussing the topic.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.